So Aaron, share with us, if you could, a little bit about your experience when you were at the University of Louisville.
Yeah. I worked in the Student Health Center, and they approached me and said, hey, there's this new cancer vaccine that prevents cancer, and it'll stop you from getting cervical cancer. Would you like that? And as someone who had just buried 3 family members in about the year and a half prior to that from cancer, I said, sure, whatever it takes. And so I got up from my desk and followed the nurse into the exam room and got a shot and went back to work for the rest of the day. And I think probably some classes in through there. And I went back to my dorm that night, went to bed, woke up in the middle of the night that night, vomiting. Mm. And that continued for a few days. And then extreme fatigue, muscle pain. My limbs felt like they weighed 1,000,000 pounds, and then they were too heavy to move, and it was just I couldn't get out of bed. And then I had tonsillitis out of nowhere. I'd never had tonsillitis before, which is where my tonsils swelled up and closed my airway shut. I had to go to the hospital, and I think I was given a steroid injection and some antibiotics and all of this stuff, and then a couple weeks later it happened again. Okay. And the vomiting and the tiredness and the fatigue, it just never stopped. Okay. After that point.
So, and then this was directly, immediately after the
it was within about 12 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it didn't stop, it continued.
It continued.
When you went to the physicians, what did they tell you? What was causing this?
Just some virus. You've just got some virus, you know. Okay. No connection to the fact that I just had some viruses injected into me.
Did you let them know that you'd just been injected with a vaccine?
They asked if there were anything different, and said, no, well, I got this shot. Oh, that's not it. Yeah, that's not it.
Okay.
Yeah.
They just kind of blew it off.
Completely blew it off.
Okay. Yeah. So this continued for how long?
For weeks. And then, well, actually, it continued for months. Yeah. And then about 6 months later, my menstrual cycle completely stopped, and I knew I wasn't pregnant. And so I went for some tests, and I found out that I had neuroendocrine carcinoma of the cervix, stage 3, so stage 3 cervical cancer.
And that's the disease that the vaccine's supposed to prevent?
That's the disease the vaccine is supposed to prevent, yeah.
Okay.
And so I went through some laparoscopic treatments for that, and they said, oh, we've got it. And then, and still during this whole time, I was having tonsillitis probably monthly.
Okay. Wow.
And it would last 7 to 14 days
at a time.
So
lots of inflammation.
Yeah, lots of inflammation. My tonsils would swell. I mean, you could see them out here. Mm-hmm. The lymph nodes up the back of my head were swollen. It looked like some sort of dinosaur with bumps up the back
really?
Of my head.
Okay.
So it definitely, whatever was going on was affecting my lymph system.
Okay.
And I just continued being sick, being sick, being sick. And finally, tonsillitis at one point got so bad, I went crying. I mean, I was just a mess. Mm. And in the emergency room, and they brought in a ear, nose, throat doctor, and he took one look and he said, these need to be removed now. Mm. And I ended up having an emergency tonsillectomy, which I did at that time request that the tonsils be saved. So we saved and sent to a pathologist, which is where they tested positive for the 3 strains of HPV that are in Gardasil.
Wow. So the vaccine actually, rather than preventing the disease and rather than stopping the viruses, created the disease, it appears, and made the viruses more viral,
yes.
I guess, for
yes.
lack of a better term, in your body.
It did.
They took over your tonsils.
And then... again, I was having some female issues.
Right.
And again, went in for some more tests. The neuroendocrine carcinoma of the cervix was back for the second time. Went through another laparoscopic treatment where at this point about half of my cervix was removed. And they said, oh, it's good. We've got it now. And the fatigue continued this entire time.
Okay.
I just felt so tired.
And how old were you at that time?
I was 19.
Okay. Yeah. So not a time of your
life. Well, I think I got the shot when I was 19. I turned 20. So I was 20.
You were young.
I was 20, yeah.
So that's not typically an age where we hear about people being fatigued. No. You weren't 75. You were 19 and 20.
Right.
Okay.
And not just like you feel tired because you stayed up all night, like you pulled an all-nighter. I couldn't get out of bed. Mm. I almost fell out of school, almost lost my job, just because I couldn't make it to class. Mm. Walking to class, and UofL campus isn't that big, but walking to class, I would just get sick. I can't tell you how many times I threw up walking across the campus. Mm. You know, it's embarrassing. And it just continued, just the overall sickness, fatigue. And then went in, at this point I was going in every 3 months to my OBGYN for checkups, tested positive again.
Okay.
At this point, the rest of my cervix was removed and I was told I wouldn't have children or I wouldn't be able to carry a child. They said, you might be able to get pregnant, but carrying it without a cervix is very, it's questionable.
So where were you at emotionally at that point?
I was devastated. I've always wanted to be a mom. Hmm. And not, you know, not when I'm 20, but, you know, I wanted that one day.
Yeah.
I wanted a family one day.
Yeah.
And then probably 4 or 5 months later, without even having a cervix, I tested positive again. Hmm. And it was at this point and they said, okay, we've got to do radiation, we've got to do chemo, we've got to do this. And the one thing I did learn from when my family members had cancer was that they went downhill fast with radiation and chemo. They didn't get better.
So you didn't want that?
I didn't want that. And at this point, I'd been following everything the doctors had said. And at this point, I was only getting sicker.
Right.
So I said, no more. And my oncologist looked at me and said, you will die.
And really?
Yeah.
If you don't do these treatments, you'll die?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I said, well, so be it. If that's the plan, then I guess that's the plan.
Yeah.
And I left. And that was a very hard time. My family wasn't very understanding. I come from a very conventional family. You do what the doctors say, you know. I didn't really have a support system. So I just started studying and started researching and studying and researching. And I came across the Gerson protocol. And I did my own version of that. I'm not going to say I did it exactly how it's set up to do. I did a 42-day juice fast. I started doing the coffee enemas, the infrared saunas, float tanks, methyl B12 injections, and I started feeling better. I started feeling better. And 6 months later, I went back to the OBGYN for tests, and I tested negative for cervical cancer.
Wow, yeah. I bet that was a great feeling.
That was the best feeling in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did the OBGYN say at that point? Is this the one that told you that you would die?
That was the oncologist.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But I did go back to the oncologist with these results, and he said, oh, it's a miracle. And I said, it's not a miracle. I worked on this. I worked on myself. It's not a miracle. I did this.
Right.
And you didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what happens when you put the right things into the body.
Right. Yeah.
The body heals.
Now, I learned a lot about nutrition in that time, about inflammation and the type of things that cause inflammation. You know, inflammation causing foods such as gluten and dairy and soy and I just started slowly but surely cutting all these out, and all over inflammation in my body just went down.
Wow.
And became healthier and healthier and healthier and healthier, luckily. It wasn't until actually a couple of years later that I learned about the MTHFR gene mutation, which is, and I learned that I was positive for it, the C677T MTHFR gene mutation, which causes you to not be able to detox toxins out of your body. So essentially I had this gene that once these toxins were injected into me,
they stayed. Right.
Until I did extreme lifestyle overhaul and detoxing, essentially.
You know, that makes a lot of sense. You've seen The Quest for the Cure, so remember Dr. Rashid Buttar.
Yes.
Right? So Dr. Buttar's theory is that most diseases are caused by the body's lack of ability to excrete toxins.
Yes.
And so some people have a better propensity to excrete than others.
Yeah.
He calls them excretors and non-excretors.
Yeah.
And people that are non-excretors are more prone to get autism or cancer or whatever it might be because mm-hmm. they can't get rid of the toxins. It sounds like that gene mutation caused that in you.
That it's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I was just, all I was told is that, hey, you want the shot and you won't get cancer.
Yeah.
There was no informed consent. There was nothing. No doctor came in to talk to me about it. You know, it was just, hey, I can give you this, and I followed the nurse into the room and I got it.
Did any of them ever seem to realize after that it may have been the vaccine that caused it?
Or never.
If they did, they didn't let you know?
If they did, and I don't think they did, they just denied. No, that didn't have anything to do with it. No, mm-hmm. no, that wouldn't do this. No. And when I had the last part of my cervix removed, I saved that just like I did with my tonsils and had it tested, and it tested positive for HPV 16 and 18, which I had actually tested negative to prior to getting the vaccine. And HPV 16 and 18 are in the vaccine.
Mm.
So no I don't know how you can deny that.
You got that except through the vaccine.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's such a brainwashing campaign that a physician who's, you know, let's face it, they're intelligent people to get through that kind of schooling.
Very.
But that they can look at these amalgamation of toxic ingredients in a vaccine
mm-hmm.
that any one alone could cause damage. You put them all together and inject it, but then it's just out of the realm of possibility that could have hurt you.
Right. But I also think the problem is that they don't know those ingredients. They aren't taught those.
Talk about that. So the physician doesn't typically know the ingredients, huh?
At all. I have talked with some doctors that are more in the know on these things here recently, and they say they got 30 minutes of education on vaccines in their entire medical college, and that 30 minutes included how to give the shot. That was it.
So they just take it on blind faith that it's going to do good.
Well, the pharmaceutical reps come into their office and say, hey, you know, if you give this to your patients, you're gonna save your patients from cervical cancer.
Yeah.
And I say, okay.
Right.
And that's it.
Wow.
That's all they know on it.
So it's very similar to the education that a doctor gets on nutrition, almost none.
Exactly.
So they get out of medical school and they don't know anything about nutrition.
Exactly.
They don't understand what's in the vaccines.
Exactly.
So, wow.
And they don't know how nutrition can heal, too. Yeah.
Yeah, and they don't understand how toxic the vaccines are. So I guess if you were to break down the ingredients and they looked at them, maybe at that point they'd say, wow, this is kind of odd that we're injecting these.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, you wouldn't, if you were to say, hey, I'm going to put aluminum and formaldehyde and viruses and bacteria in this baby bottle and I'm going to give it to my baby, you would be arrested.
Yeah.
But to inject it, it's okay.
Sure. Yeah, Robert Scott Bell said something similar to that in the Quest for the Cures.
But
you know, we just saw, this was I think 1 week ago or 2 weeks ago, there was a lady on Facebook that was doing like a prank. And she was a mom's group. And she said, hey, I just heard from my pediatrician that I need to give my kid formaldehyde, a supplement of aborted fetal tissue, and some aluminum and some mercury and all these things. And should I do it? And there's this big thread that started. And there was other mothers that were going to report her to the police for saying that she was going to give her kids these ingredients. And at the end, she had to come clean and say, you know what, this was just a big joke. I'm not going to do that, but this is what's in the vaccine.
This is what's listed in the vaccine insert, which the doctors don't read.
Yeah, they don't read. Wow. Yeah. So, all right, so then how many years ago was it that you did the Gerson therapy or your version of the Gerson and that you tested positive?
All of this
tested
was
negative for cancer.
All of this started right at 11 years ago. Well, I got got the Gardasil 11 years ago.
Okay.
Got the first diagnosis 10 years ago, and I'm going on almost 9 years cancer free now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's great.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then your whole lifestyle's changed
completely
since then.
Yeah. Now I will say, so there is something that I do still struggle with. This is very interesting to me. Gardasil is the only vaccine on the market that contains L-histidine, which is the precursor to histamine. Histamine works as a neurotransmitter in our body and regulates inflammation in our body. And I now have an extreme histamine intolerance, so I have to be extremely careful about the things I eat. There are the things that most people consider healthy that are high histamine that can cause me to get very sick. Oh. Avocados, bananas, strawberries. I can get very sick off these things. And so, or alcohol is extremely high histamine. So right. I just have to be very careful about what I put in my body now.
Right.
Or I can get very sick.
Mm. But talk to us, Erin, about some of the websites that you're involved with now and some of the organizations in Middle Tennessee.
I help run Vax Free Tennessee, which is kind of a local support group for non-vaccinating families. We're up to 1,100 families now in just a year of existing. And we grow by about 50 families a month. And then we have just started the Tennessee Coalition for Vaccine Choice. We hope to help educate the public on the very real dangers of vaccines, or at the very least, you know, push informed consent. And right. then also to prevent any type of legislation that would take away our bodily rights.
Yeah. So what do you think about what's happened in California with forced vaccines in a state that we would have never dreamed it would have happened?
It's a disgrace. It goes against, I mean, our right to education, our right to decide what goes in our body.
Yeah.
And with everybody focuses on, you know, the SB 277, which stopped, if you're not vaccinated, you can't go to school now. But they're also simultaneously passed along with that, that if you work with children or come into contact with children whatsoever mm-hmm. in the state of California, you have to be up to date on your vaccines. So say even if you work in HVAC and you get a contract at a hospital that sees children, you're going to have to be up to date.
And if the vaccines worked, we shouldn't be worried about the kids that have been vaccinated.
Absolutely.
Right? If they worked, who cares who they encounter?
Right. Exactly.
But we've been misled in this concept of herd immunity, number one.
Mm.
You know, that's part of the problem is this herd immunity. And talk about that being a myth. What is herd immunity?
Herd immunity was based on natural immunity, where you naturally acquire immunity from a mother's breast milk. So you get the antibodies from the mother, and then you build immunity against these diseases as you come into contact with them. Injecting diseases, bacteria and viruses, along with aluminum and thimerosal and formaldehyde and polysorbate 80 and all of these horribly toxic things that we're told not to inject by themselves, but somehow poof, they're magic when they're combined. Putting all of that plus viruses and bacteria in your body, that doesn't give you immunity. And the very fact that of boosters, having to get a booster every 3, 5, 6, 7 years, where's the immunity? What herd right. immunity? You know?
Yeah, if the shot worked, there would be no need for a booster.
Right, and especially, you're seeing babies right now get 3 DTaP in the first year.
I didn't know that. Three?
Three in the first 2 years of life.
That's crazy.
Yeah, or they get 2 flu shots in the first year of life now. That's on the CDC vaccine schedule mm-hmm. right now. 2 in the first year. That's horrible.
It is.
Then you want 1 every year?
And the thing is, I've mentioned this to other people that I've interviewed, it's these things are hidden in plain sight to us because I don't know that they're still using it, but one of the DPT shots that was given to children, it listed on the package insert that it might cause autism.
Yes, no, that was actually that specific one, Tripedia, was taken off the market in 2012. Pretty much it was just taken off the market, renamed, put back out on the market, and autism and SIDS was removed from the insert. However, we do have reports of it being seen still in use as late as early 2015.
Mm.
So that might have been taken off the market, but there are these doctors out there that don't want to lose their profit, and they bought this product to give their patients, so they're going to give it to them.
And reality is that it may have just been a renaming job, too. We don't know if there's anything different in it.
Right. I'm going blank on what the one that came out after it is, but it's essentially the exact same thing under a new name.
They just took that off the package insert.
Yeah.
We actually read.
Yeah.
They didn't know we could read.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Funny.
Yeah. But we're in this bizarre paradigm in the United States today that if you do read and you communicate what you read with one of the medical powers that be, then they'll tell you that you're nuts.
Right, exactly.
I mean, the package insert here, Doc, says it might cause autism. My kid's autistic. Could there be any link? No, you're nuts.
Yeah.
Quit being a conspiracy theorist.
Right. That's a conspiracy theorist, exactly what you get called.
Yeah.
For being able to read
yeah.
what or the manufacturer says is possible.
Anti-vax, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's just they couch the terms in such a negative light
mm-hmm.
that like, no, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not anti-vax, you know?
Yeah.
You don't want to be, people are afraid of being mocked or made fun of or whatever it is.
Right.
There's this herd mentality that, hey, at least, you know, at least everybody else is doing it.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So I'm safe. There's safety with these numbers.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, these numbers are all getting cancer and autism.
Right. You know? And and autoimmune conditions, I mean, they're skyrocketing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't know of anyone with an autoimmune condition 10 years ago. No one. And now, yeah. I mean, probably one out of every three of my friends has lupus,
yeah.
Rheumatoid arthritis, you know, on and on and on and on. And
yeah.
what's the common denominator here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good point. Yeah, and I know for a fact that 15, 20 years ago, I mean, autoimmune diseases were almost non-existent.
They didn't exist, yeah.
Yeah. And now everybody has one.
And I mean, and it's as simple, again, as reading the insert. Rheumatoid arthritis is a listed side effect of Gardasil. You know, fibromyalgia, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hidden in plain sight.
Hidden in plain sight.
Yeah.